With the first pick in the 2007 NFL Draft, the Oakland Raiders select quarterback Jamarcus Russell, LSU.
And here we go.
What's up, NFP? This is Wes Bunning, the Director of College Scouting here at the National Football Post, and you're listening to our second installment of Draft Nick Roundtable. This is part of our Draft Talk series, but I'm bringing in four of the top draft Nicks, quote-unquote, in the business every week, just to talk shop, get some different opinions, and overall have some good feedback from one another and see what prospects we like, what prospects we don't like, and go from there. So I want to intro the four guys we have this week. The first works at New England, NEPatriotsDraft.com, and that's Mike Lyko. Mike, how are we doing today, buddy?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, Wes.
Oh, not a problem. Our next guy is Evan Silva, the head writer at NBC Sports and Roto World. We've had Evan on before to talk a little Brian Quick, who I'm sure you're happy about with the results he had yesterday.
Absolutely, man. 448, 453. He's going 50.
I like it. Alex Brown, who is a good friend of mine, we were able to hook up at the Players All-Star Classic this year. He is the head central scout at Optimum Scouting. Alex, how we doing, buddy?
Doing very well, Wes.
Good to have you on. And the last guy we had on is from NFLsFuture.com. That is none other than Brad Clark, who is the lead editor over there. Brad, how we doing, mate?
Great. Thanks for having me on, Wes.
Not a problem, guys. And it's combine season. We're all having a good time watching 350-pound men run sub-5-second 40s today. But before we get into the defensive line class, Mike, I'm going to throw it to you. Take yourself back to yesterday when we were watching the wide receivers, the running backs, the quarterbacks. Who was the most impressive prospect in your mind, not from a tape standpoint, just from an overall performance standpoint yesterday at the NFL Combine?
Well, I feel like a lot of the wide receivers kind of stole the show and got a lot of the talk going there at the Combine, but somebody that I thought had a really, really solid day all around was Boise State running back Doug Martin. Mm-hmm. I thought in every drill, I thought he was really solid. If you look at his numbers from yesterday, he weighed in at 223 pounds, measured in at 5'9". A question coming into it with him was how fast would he run? People thought he might have been a 4.6 guy. He ended up running unofficially. I end up going by the hand times. I think they're a little bit more accurate than the actual official times they use. He came in at 4.47, which is a great time for him. Mm-hmm. Puts him in the upper echelon of the running back class. He ended up vertical jumping 36 inches, broad jumping 10 inches, and then he was in the top 3 to 5 of each of the three cone and short shuttle. So when you combine that his film with how he did yesterday, he really showcased his hands. He looked really natural catching the ball, showed his burst and cuts and then all the other drills. I just thought Doug Martin, somebody that didn't get too much pub on the broadcast, the guys like Stephen Hill, Michael Floyd kind of stole the show. But he's somebody that's been flying under the radar a little bit all through the whole postseason scouting process. And I just think he's somebody that's really going to go a lot higher than people think and just be an immediate impact player at the next level.
Yeah, that's a sneaky pick, Mike. I like it. I'll throw one quick point back to you before we get on to Evan. How high exactly do you think Doug Martin can end up going now after this kind of combine workout?
I think it's going to vary on some teams' boards. The top four running backs are kind of bunched up on a lot of, at least on my board. You have Trent Richardson who's kind of head and shoulders above the rest. Then yesterday you had the big question about Lamar Miller and David Wilson. How would they separate themselves? They both tested out very similar yesterday. Mm-hmm. But then you have Doug Martin, who's kind of the more three-down back. He proved at the Senior Bowl that he's one of the best, if not the best, pass protector of all the running backs. He showed that he can catch the ball. So I'm thinking about putting him in at least number three on my board, maybe even number two, just based on that he can do everything. You don't have to worry about taking him out of the games on third downs. And that's something that the other running backs just can't offer, especially pass protection-wise. He's head and shoulders above the other top guys in that.
Evan, I'll throw it to you. Same question. Most impressive skill position guy you saw yesterday work out at the combine?
Yeah, I mean, just in terms of players that showed up to the combine and are going to emerge from the combine with higher draft grades, I mean, I don't think that anybody did a better job of improving their draft stock than Stephen Hill, the receiver from Georgia Tech. I think he's got the fastest 40 time of anybody that, you know, regardless of position that has ran so far. 4.36 officially was timed unofficially as fast as 4.3 flat. 11'1" broad jump to lead all wide receivers. It's not too far off Calvin Johnson's 11'7" from a few years ago. You know, I went back and I watched a couple of games. I had the Clemson-Georgia Tech game on DVR and North Carolina-Georgia Tech was like on a draft breakdown type site. And I watched those two games last night. And, man, he looks like the best player on the field. And he just looks so good. And I really didn't know a whole lot about him. I knew that he was big. I knew that he could run, you know, not that fast. But he only had 49 receptions in his entire college career. And, like, let's be real. I mean, this whole process is about these NFL teams, they don't necessarily know who to scout. They don't necessarily know who to evaluate. They, you know, they hire Blesto. They hire National Scouting. They have their own little scouting departments. The scouting combine is trying to, like, you know, unearth players and trying to, you know, find more information on them. And Stephen Hill, I mean, these NFL personnel men are going to go back to the tape and they're going to look at it. And Stephen Hill is he's a freak, man. He's big, he's really long, and he's really fast. And I think he's better after the catch than you know you would think for a guy who's kind of skinny. I think that he's probably going to end up being at the very lowest a high second round pick.
Yeah, no, I agree, Evan. I actually was turned on to him by a scout as soon as all the juniors were starting declaring. They said, you know, take a good look at this guy and don't write him off too quickly. And when I watched him, I actually had him, I believe, fifth on my board when I finished evaluating all the wide receivers in the class. And it was a guy that, of the big receivers in the class, I thought he had the ability to get vertically down the field. I thought he high-pointed the football extremely well. You talked about the production. The guy's never run a real route in his life. When I watched him on tape, the only sharply breaking route I saw from him was when they put him into the slot and they let him run the out, which was miserable to watch. And he had some horrendous drops throughout the course of the three games that I saw. But he also made some really impressive catches. And when I watched to see, one, if he has the ability to separate, and two, beat press coverage, you talked about his ability to create after the catch. I see enough power and short area quickness from him where I think he can beat press coverage, get off the line, and vertically get down the field.
Right, and, you know, in the two games that I watched, he didn't go up against press coverage a whole lot.
No.
You know, I think that, you know, on virtually every snap, the DB was playing off the line. And you know that you know the defense is taking this approach. Hey, Georgia Tech has a running offense. Hey, this guy can run fast. So we're going to play off him a little bit, give him some cushion. He's probably not going to catch a whole lot of, you know, 7 and 9 yard outs. I think that, I mean, he's so raw. And you talk about the drops, and you know, I saw one of them. It was real bad. But you know that same knock was on Demaryius Thomas. And, you know, I think a lot of it just comes from focus, playing in that offense that runs, you know, 70%, 80% of the time. And, you know, I mean, if he can improve his focus in a normal, you know, offense that is balanced, I mean, I think the sky is the limit for him, and he's, you know, he's going to go really high in the draft.
Yeah, size speed guys, they get drafted high. Alex, we're going to throw the next question to you. We got a Doug Martin vote and a Stephen Hill vote. Where are you going?
I'm going with the guy that was hurt for essentially the entire season and struggled with concussions throughout his entire collegiate career. Chris Owusu, the guy, you know, just couldn't stay healthy, just horrendous hit after horrendous hit. But the guy posted a 4.36 40, jumped higher than 40 inches, ran great routes, caught the ball well all day. Him and Kashif Moore from UConn, he's another guy, didn't have injury issues, but had quarterback struggles throughout his entire career because UConn just simply was not able to recruit a quarterback for him. He posted a 4.3 hand time 40, jumped 43.5 inches, and really good routes for the most of the day. And those are two guys that really stood out. A unique guy that really wasn't broadcast a lot, and I had to find him on the online where they were tracking. They had two different camera feeds on NFL.com. Junior Hemingway came in about 5'11", 200-plus, really thick guy, but a slot receiver. He was pretty strong. He had 21 bench reps. He led all receivers in the three cone, the short shuttle, and the long shuttle with a 6'5", 8", a 3'9", 8", and 11'1", 6". And he's a guy that he can win in the slot. He can block on the outside. He just brings a lot of versatility. He's a guy that coaches will really like.
Mm-hmm. Brad, your guy for the most impressive skill player yesterday?
Well, I hate to steal Alex's answer, but he took my guy. Junior Hemingway was a guy that I came out of yesterday with. You know, admittedly, I had an undraftable grade on him, and I live in Big Ten country, so I get to see quite a bit of Michigan and Junior Hemingway. But he was hampered by quarterback play. Also gave the best quote of the week by saying that Denard Robinson will be a wide receiver in the NFL. But I was really impressed with him yesterday. The guy's got great hands, big, strong hands. He came in, I think, third heaviest amongst the receivers at 225. He's almost 6'1". He ran an impressive 4.53 40 with an even more impressive 153.10 split. You know, like Alex said, he was near the top of the class in most of the drills. He didn't catch the ball as well as I expected yesterday because he really, on tape, you see very few balls hit the turf with him. And there's a lot of errant balls by Denard Robinson. He can go up and get them. He's a big physical guy. He can get off the line. I like him a lot. I was really impressed yesterday with his short area quickness, his lateral agility, and his explosion. I think he's an underrated guy. Like I said, admittingly, I didn't have a draftable grade on him. I can tell you I'm going to go back. I'm going to take another look at him. I'm going to see if I can't get a draftable grade on this guy because I think he's a guy that, you know, the numbers posted yesterday speak for themselves. Not a burner, but a 4.53, a 225. It was a pretty impressive performance by Junior Hemingway.
So, Brad, you think he's now, what, a mid-to-late round prospect?
Yeah, I got to think that after yesterday, there's got to be some guys, some NFL personnel guys that he wasn't on their radar going in, and now all of a sudden he's going to be a guy that is going to force people to go back and take another look at him.
Same
I
with
really
you.
Think, you know,
go ahead.
The quarterback play that it was bad, and I think he was hampered by it more than any. On top of that, you throw in the changes to the offense. They went from Rich Rodriguez to a more pro-style offense. He's a guy that certainly caught my eye yesterday.
Same with you, Alex, mid to late now for Hemingway?
Oh, yeah, definitely mid to late now.
Okay. Mike, we're going to throw it back to you. We got a chance to look at some defensive linemen today, some talented guys getting through the ropes. We also got a chance to check out some linebackers today that ran a little better than some people thought. But we'll stick with defensive linemen as a whole. And you can do, if you know, a guy like Bruce Irvin who worked out with the D lineman, you can project into your 34 backer. I'll give you the versatility, whatever you want to hit. But overall, from the defensive line group, most impressive performance you saw today from that class?
On a whole, it was a pretty impressive workout. There was a bunch of guys that really stood out, a bunch of guys that really answered a lot of questions that scouts had. One guy that I felt really had a solid day and really answered a lot of questions, and now he's continuing his momentum from the Senior Bowl, is Shay McClellan from Boise State.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's another Boise State guy. People are going to think I'm a Boise State fan. I'm not, but he's really, I mean, you couldn't ask for better numbers that he put up today. He ended up putting on some weight since the Senior Bowl. I believe at the Senior Bowl, weighed in right around 250 or maybe a little bit more. He weighed in at the combine at 260 pounds, so he's added about 10 pounds since the Senior Bowl. He's over 6'3", and he can play really any position on the front seven that you ask him to play, essentially. He's just one of those throwback football players. He can play defensive end, outside linebacker, middle linebacker. He's somebody that, talking to scouts and coaches at the Senior Bowl, they were really, really impressed with. I actually got stuck on my flight home from Mobile with some of the Vikings coaches, and they were just raving about this kid, how smart he is as a player and how athletic he is. He went, he looked really fluid in all the drills. He actually posted the second fastest 40 time out of any of the defensive linemen today at a 4.63 official, and he had a 1.57 10-yard split, which is just a remarkable number for him. He's somebody that, talking to people that are close to Shay McClellan, he's getting a ton of interest around the league, from mainly as a middle or outside linebacker. Coaches just love his potential at linebacker. He's somebody, if you watch the Boise State film throughout the year, consistently he's the best player on that defense. Whenever there's a big play to be made, it seems like he makes it. If you watch more tape, you can see how mainly offenses would roll the coverage towards him and roll the play away from Shay McClellan. He played with Tyrone Crawford, who's another underrated player. Mm-hmm. But just seems like Shay McClellan, I mean, I think right now he's probably solidly in the second round, just based off of he had a really solid Senior Bowl week. He looked a little uncomfortable at first down there, but he wanted to go in there and show teams that they knew what he could do at a defensive end. Maybe he was a little undersized for that. Show that he could play middle linebacker and outside linebacker and cover out of the backfield. And, I mean, his pass rushing skills are way above average. I mean, this is a draft that there's not too many pass rushers, especially from the linebacker position. So someone like Shay McClellan, who's so versatile like that, and just somebody who I think is going to get a lot better whatever position the team puts him in, I mean, he's going to appeal to people that are 3-4, 4-3. He's just somebody that's really, really impressed me. On top of that, he had some of the better three-cone and short shuttle numbers, and he bench-pressed 19 times, which is decent for him. Mm-hmm. Jumped 31.5. Just an all-around solid week for him. Somebody, I think his stock is really soaring. He's really helped himself this week.
Yeah, with Shay, I agree with a couple of things. Most of the things you said. The fluidity for a big guy, I think, is really impressive, especially when you watch him on tape. A couple times when he's asked to drag with backs down the field, looks really comfortable turning and running. Talked about the scheme versatility. He can play just about any spot in a 43 front, could play, or a 34 front for that matter. The one question I have, and I'm going to throw it back to you, Mike, before we get to Evan. When I watch him as a pass rusher standing up, I didn't think he was nearly as effective than with his hand on the ground. And that's not to say that he can't improve on that area, but when you watched him, did you see a better pass rusher when he played from a three-point stance as opposed to standing up?
No, I agree with you. You're right on that. He is kind of raw as a pass rusher standing up. I mean, almost all of his sacks, I don't have the statistic on it, but yeah. I would almost bet that most of his sacks came with his hand in the ground. I think that's just more natural to him.
Yeah.
I think as he gets more comfortable standing up and through his training, I think this is somebody that might struggle early on to pick up the speed of the NFL linebacker. He's not used to really playing standing up. But I think he's a player that has a high ceiling. He's going to consistently get better. Everything that I've heard, he's a really smart player. He has no problem learning new schemes. He picked up the pass coverages of the Senior Bowl easily. So I just think he's somebody that's versatility is a key at the next level. And, I mean, he's the most versatile defender in the draft, at least in the front seven.
Mm-hmm. Evan, we're going to throw it to you. From the defensive lineman you saw today or got a chance to see, who was the most impressive deal?
Dontre Poe, the Memphis nose tackle, 6 foot, 3.5, 346 pounds, ran an official, quote-unquote, 40 time of 4.98, was timed unofficially as fast as 4.87. I was just thinking to myself, honestly, like, how many people on the planet have the ability to do that? I mean, maybe like 5. I don't think that there's more than 10. Dontre Poe is like a freak. And I talked to people down, you know, that were on the field at the combine, and they saw Dontre Poe running his 40, and it was like jaw-dropping to see somebody that big move that quickly. I think that, like, to begin the combine, we all kind of thought, oh, yeah, Dontre Poe, he's going to be like a first-round pick, you know, maybe late, maybe to the Steelers. A lot of people put Poe to the Steelers in their mock draft. I think this guy is going to go in the top 15, no problem. I mean, just the rare ability to move at that kind of size, it just doesn't come around too often.
I'll let you keep rolling with this, Evan. When I watch Dontari Poe and we talk about the guys that could possibly go to the first team that really has that need for a defensive tackle, granted the Rams if they would trade back, but we'll just play devil's advocate here and roll with the Panthers. You got Brockers,
yeah,
who a lot of people like and a lot of people don't like. Me, I like him a lot. I think he's going to be a really good player for someone. More of a 34 guy, though. You look at Devin Still from Penn State, who had a very good year, probably safer than those two guys, but not nearly as much upside. And then you got Dontari Poe. Do you think after this workout, his name's thrown into the ring, you know, with some consistency that, you know what, this guy could be a top 10 pick and someone the Panthers could look at 9, I believe?
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. I was thinking 9 to Carolina or possibly 11 to Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I mean, Poe has the ability to be a 3-4 nose tackle. Michael Brockers does not offer that.
No.
And, you know, Devin Still doesn't offer that. The other guys, I think, you know, in a 3-4 defense, they're probably defensive ends. Poe can, you know, be that rare guy who – plays on early downs, and I think that he has enough athleticism, to have upside as a pass rusher, as a guy like B.J. Raji who can push the pocket when you need him to. I think he's going to end up going in the top 12 picks, and Carolina makes a lot of sense, and so does Kansas City.
Yeah, and honestly, if a 34 team takes this guy, yeah, you can play him on the nose in first and second, and with his range, his athleticism, there's no problem. He could kick out to the 5 technique and try to threaten those gaps and get up the field. Teams like you said, the Raji and the Packers, the Cowboys who want that one gap guy, there's not too many places this guy couldn't play is kind of what we're saying. Alex, moving.
Yeah, totally. I mean,
Go ahead, Evan.
He's a freak, and he's got the strength part down. I know he doesn't have, super long arms. I was just thinking of 350-pound nose tackles that have been drafted recently, like Terrence Cody. I mean, he couldn't move like that.
No.
It's just so rare. I think you got to take him early.
Alex, kicking on to you, big guy. Most impressive defensive lineman you saw today?
Yeah, Dontari Poe and Fletcher Cox are the top two most, just absolutely most impressive just specimens. They're big guys. The guy I'll talk about is Fletcher Cox because Evan beat me to Dontari Poe, but I mean, Fletcher Cox, 6'4", 298, runs a 7.07 three cone, which is 5 tenths faster than Quinton Coples, who's 12 pounds lighter. Just plus foot speed through into back drills. Just looks so just natural, just a good mover. And I don't know where he's playing because, honestly, covering the Big 12, the Midwest, I wasn't able to see a whole lot of SEC and, the West Coast and East Coast. But, I mean, this guy really jumped out at me as just an incredible athlete for his size, as well as being a strong guy.
Yeah, that's one thing. When I saw Cox, I wasn't in love with him inside. I thought he got a bit upright with his pad level, but he still had some anchor ability because he's a naturally strong kid. And in pass rushing situations, he could get up the field. Again, pad level would pop upright. But when I look at him, and Mike, I could throw it back to you after we hit up Brad, but when I look at Cox, I almost think he's a better fit for a 34 front. I have him as a defensive end right now. I think he could be effective as a 3 technique, no problems there, but I think to maximize that explosion, I thought he was very effective playing in space, and we saw that with his athleticism today at the combine. You think he'd be a pretty nice fit as a 5 technique, just based off what you saw today? You said you haven't seen enough of him on tape. Alex.
Are you talking? Oh, that was me?
Yeah, Alex.
Yeah, I actually wrote down next to him 5 technique plus upside. Mm-hmm. I had those on my notes.
Okay. Brad, we'll kick it to you, buddy. Last one for the defensive line group today. Most impressive that you saw.
Okay, there were several guys, but first off, I'm the Fletcher Cox fan. I'm a big Fletcher Cox fan. I think he's a top 15 pick with 5 tech.
Okay.
I think he showed the.
Is he a top 15? Top 15 is a 3 tech as well, do you think?
No.
No? Okay,
no,
so 5
think,
tech.
I think a definite better fit as a 5 technique. I think the 3-4 teams will eat him up. Obviously, Dontari Poe was the highlight of today. As Evan said, I mean, it's really rare that you get a guy that big that moves that well. I do want to mention one thing about him before I actually get on to my guy, but Mike Mayock made the comparison of Haloti Ngata And then Twitterverse exploded with all the detractors saying that Poe doesn't have the collegiate production that Nada had. You know, I don't know the actual stats, Nada, but I know Nada wasn't a high sack guy, maybe 5 or 6 during his college career. I believe Poe came out of his college career with 5 sacks. Poe probably played a few more games. If he was a 3-year starter and Nada played 2 years. So the numbers are skewed a bit, but to say that he doesn't have the college production would be effective. I think I knocked him to Kansas City at 11 back in December and took a ton of heat on it. Kansas City fans just destroyed me on it. and I kept saying, wait till after the combine, because you're going to see some freakish athleticism from this guy. I mean, when you turn on a Memphis game. I watched them live in 2010 against Louisville. It's mind-numbing, this guy's lateral agility at that size.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember I was sitting there and just thinking the whole time that number 74, he's a big boy and he moves really well. You know, and at the time I didn't even know who he was. Yeah, he's a disruptor, a consistent force in the backfield. But to get enough of those guys, to get on to my guy, I liked, really liked what I saw from Quentin Couples today.
Okay.
Thought he showed well, maybe not as well as people expected, and I know he's taking some heat. He's a polarizing guy. Some guys have him as a top 10 guy. Some guys have him dropping down in the later end of round one. You know, I'm in his corner. I think he's a top 10 guy. Came in 6'5", 284, which was what was expected of him. Ran an unofficial 4.72. I think it ended up being a 4.79 officially. You know, with defensive linemen, I always look at the 10-yard split because, you know, they're never running 40 yards in their lifetime. Like, the last 40, 20 couples that runs, and I think he came in at 1.63, which is a pretty decent time. Showed some explosion. But I like the guy. He may not have been the highlight that Cole was today, Fletcher Cox. Mike Martin was another guy that showed pretty well. But I like him. I think he's a good player. I think he gets a bad rap. He played inside of the 3 technique in 2010, played well, moved back outside this year, didn't play as well. People started to question his want to. You know, I think I don't think it's a matter of want to. I think with this guy, he's just one of those guys that all the physical gifts are there, and he doesn't have to work as hard as other people do. And when I see him on tape, I see an 8 to 9 sack guy, and a guy that can be a consistent force in the backfield. That if he gets in the right system, and he's pretty team diverse, he can play in multiple systems. If he gets in the right one with a good coach that can keep him motivated, you know, you may see this guy end up being a steal if he's anywhere past 10 in this draft.
Mm-hmm. Mike, one more thing: Fletcher Cox, better 5 technique than 3 technique?
I think he can probably play both. The thing about 5 technique is usually NFL teams would like the 5 technique players to be a little bit over 300 pounds. Fletcher Cox is kind of underweight for it. I think he weighed in at 298. And he really can bulk up to play 5 technique if that's where a team drafts him to be. He can put weight on his frame without any problem. He's somebody I was really impressed with Fletcher Cox today, too. I'm really high on him. Like you say, he does play a little bit high. But he's a player that's really only had one big year of production. He's kind of burst onto the scene this year. But I don't know if he's a top 15 pick. I think he'll come into play anywhere from maybe where the Jets are at 16 all the way down to the end of the first round. And it's going to be something to watch between Poe and the rest of the defensive tackles. The one thing I will say about Poe is his motor does not always run. If you watch him on tape, he takes plays off. I mean, at that size and his athleticism, playing against the level of competition and the offensive lineman he played against, I think he should have been more dominant, especially with the numbers he put up today. But, I mean, his upside is high as anybody's in the draft. I don't know how high he'll end up going. All those tackles are going to be bunched together, and it's going to be based on what team prefers what player over another.
Mm-hmm. All right, I want to get you guys out of here quickly, but I want to throw one more question at you. Most, or let's just say, the worst overall performance. Not in terms of the guy's just not an athlete, but we're talking a guy that you expected to light up the combine or at least have a really good performance over these first 3 days and overall let you down. I'll start, so give you guys time to think. And ultimately, my guy's Kendall Wright. The official was 4.61. I don't know if that's true or not. They had him at 4.45. Honestly, when I watched him on tape, watched him run vertically down the football field, I saw a guy that didn't even need to be a good route runner, especially in the slot on those vertical routes or those deep crossing patterns like the Eagles use with DeSean Jackson. I thought he could just run away from people. And it's honestly, it's going to be a tough decision for how high people want to keep him up the board. You have a verified time of 4.6 on him. 4.45 was the stopwatch time. You know, I think he plays much quicker than 4.61. I think he's a 4.45 guy. But that was the one guy I was disappointed in. He has me pulling my hair out a bit because I got to figure out exactly how high I want to put him on the board. I like him. You know, that's not going away for me. But overall, it was a tough decision to watch and a decision I'll have to make going forward. Evan, I'll go ahead.
Can I throw something in there? Watching Kendall Wright all season long, I completely agree. You know, the 4.61 is a little disappointing, but how many receivers line up in a 3-point stance?
No, I agree 100%.
And the thing was, I really didn't pay a whole lot of attention to it. I was like, okay, let's just see how he does in positional drills. And he, in the gauntlet, the most impressive thing was how fast he ran the gauntlet. You watch his gauntlet compared to a guy like Michael Floyd or even a Dwight Jones, who kind of, you know, they laze their way through it, and they're, you know, waiting on the balls. He's just sprinting through the whole thing. Catch, turn up the field. And really, I don't really see a whole lot of worry about him. But one of the guy that really, opposite of what you were saying, that had a bad workout that surprised me, Ronnell Lewis had a really good workout. And the reason I guess I was kind of surprised was because on tape, he's completely misused in that Oklahoma scheme because of their injuries. And he was playing five techniques. Sometimes they'd bump him into three. I mean, they were playing him all over the field. He really is a 3-4 outside linebacker at heart. And putting out 36 bench reps really showed a lot of the upper body strength. And, you know, he ran the bags well. I was really impressed with his workout.
Okay. Evan, I'll throw it to you. You know, it's kind of a free-for-all right now. Guys that impressed, guys that didn't impress. We just want your opinion, Evan. So hit me, baby.
Vontaze Burfict just bombed. Could not have had a worse combine. I mean, like, all right, so not only did he run 5.09 officially, his broad jump was like 8 feet something. I mean, he, like, I don't know if the dude is, like, out of shape or what. I mean, he had dropped a bunch of weight, so maybe, I mean, he played the season in the 260s and he showed up at 248. Maybe he, like, you know, just went no carbon and he like lost all his muscle or something. I don't know what happened, but he could not have performed more poorly. You know, the word is that he did not interview well, which of course is, I mean, you can really believe that because of his media interview, when he blamed, you know, the coaches for why he performed so poorly in 2011. And I don't think it's unrealistic to expect him to go no earlier than the late rounds. And I don't think it would be shocking if he went undrafted, you know, altogether, because he didn't play well. He's not liked, you know, and he didn't work out well. He was obviously unprepared. He's got a lot of issues, and I don't think that we're going to see him get drafted before the sixth round at the earliest. And if I had to put money down, I'd probably put it on him going undrafted.
Yeah, good take, Evan. That was the first thing that went through my mind, that once you saw that 5-second 40 come up. And believe it or not, before Brandon Spikes ran his, you know, he ran a 5-second 40, going back to 96, there were no inside linebackers drafted that ran over a 5-second 40. Spikes was the first one. So just something to keep in mind. Brad, your take. Guy you liked, didn't like, impressed by, wasn't impressed by. Just give us your opinion to finish up here.
I'm definitely with you on Burfict there. He may fall completely out of the draft after a miserable performance. The one guy that I was really disappointed with, I really wanted to come out of this time. I'm at this point just confused with the tight end. you know, there's three guys that are locked up for the top spot, and that, you know, for me, you can throw them in a bag and pick one out right now. And I was hoping to come out of this combine with a pretty good idea of somebody that stood out as a true number one. I have, you know, three guys as second round picks that are my top tight ends: Dwayne Allen, Orson Charles, and Kobe Fleener. Fleener didn't run, didn't participate really at all, other than weighing in, throwing up some bench reps. Orson Charles decided not to run last minute, even though he was healthy, so he got the healthy scratch, which doesn't look real good. And then Dwayne Allen was my major disappointment. I really expected a 4.7, high 4.7 for him, which would have been about what he plays on tape. He's a guy that plays vertically, likes to get up the seam, and he did it well in college. But it's for a pedestrian 4.8, 940. It's really going to raise some concerns whether he can do that in the NFL. On top of that, I think he gets a lot of credit for being a better inline blocker than what he actually is.
Mm-hmm.
For a lot of people, throw out the brand Pettigrew comparisons.
Yeah.
Pettigrew was a 4.8 guy, but Pettigrew was a much better inline blocker than Dwayne Allen. Just a major disappointment for me, because I was hoping to come out of this. Like I said, I had all three of them, you know, neck and neck, 1A, 1B, and 1C, and nobody came out, and I was disappointed with Dwayne Allen.
Mike, wrap us up here before we get to pimp you guys out a bit. Your disappointment, your plus, your final take.
Yeah, from a couple days ago, one guy that disappointed me because I'm really, really high on him is Joe Adams.
Mm-hmm.
I love Kendall Wright, too. I don't know what it is with the 40 times. It's probably the three-point stance. Adams was timed one time at 4.44. His official was 4.55. Him and Wright, they both play a lot quicker than they're timed right there, so I'm not overly concerned about it. I think they're both pretty explosive players in football pads. I'm not concerned about that. The Butterfield thing, I mean, it was absolutely disastrous. I mean, his stock was already falling. It's not even that he ran the 5.1s. I mean, you can look at Brandon Spikes. He was an All-American player, has great instincts. I mean, if you watch him in the Patriots, I mean, he's almost the heart and soul of that defense. He's so physical, downhill player. Perfect. He has awful instincts. He basically stands straight up when he's trying to read. I mean, his motor's awful. He's a personal foul penalty waiting to happen. He was just totally unprepared. The thing that turned me off most about him is after he ran those poor times, going over and sitting on the medical table, like something happened to him. I mean, I'm sure he was devastated with this time. He's a kid that's really, really highly recruited. I'm sure his opinion of himself is really, really high. Thought he could just show up, get drafted in the first round. And, I mean, he cost himself hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars today. And his attitude, his work ethics, all going to need major, major work. Conversely, Luke Kuechly, I mean, he stole the show for me. I mean, I'm from Boston. I've watched him all through his college career, every single play. His instincts are the best I've ever seen at that position. Stepped in for Mark Herzlick when he had cancer. First game, you could just tell this kid's special. He makes the keys, and his instincts are just second to none. He answered all questions through his pro day. He ran a 4.5 flat. Officially, I think it was a 4.58. Jumped 38 inches, broad jumped over 10, bench pressed it 30 times or something right around there. I mean, his stock is soaring. He's on the opposite end of the spectrum. He answered every question there is. I'm sure his Wunderlich was one of the best at the entire combine. So he's somebody that right now I don't see him getting out of the top 15 based on film and overall performance here this week. Perfect on the other end. His stock is dropping. I think he will get drafted in a later round just because some coach will think that they can mold him and turn him into a player. And the two receivers, Wright and Adams, I'm not too worried about their bad 40 times. They play faster on tape.
Mike, tell the listeners all the many places they can find you on the World Wide Web.
Yeah, you can visit the website, nepatriotsdraft.com. We update it constantly. We have a ton of stuff up there. And then you can follow me on Twitter at NEPD_Loyko, L-O-Y-K-O. I tweet a bunch. I'm always on there. So if you got questions for me, anything, I'm always on. I'll answer your questions. And visit the website, nepatriotsdraft.com.
Evan, how about you, big guy?
Am I talking players or am I just signing out?
You are signing out, my man.
All right. My Twitter is at Evan Silva. You find my stuff on rotoworld.com. Check out Josh Norris. He's an up-and-comer. He's at Josh Norris, and he'll be writing a combine recap tomorrow.
Evan, Josh will be on the show too. You don't have to help the young guy out too much.
And no, I'm trying to look out for him. You know?
No, Josh is a good guy, and we'll look forward to when he gets on as well. If he doesn't pimp you out, though, I'll give him some crap. Alex, where can they find you at, big guy?
You can check all of Optimum Scouting's draft work at OptimumScouting.com, and you can find me on Twitter at ABXXV25.
And then, of course, you can find Brad Clark at NFLsFuture.com. Anywhere else, Brad?
Yeah, you can also find me on Twitter. I mostly retweet Evan Silva, but I'm at NFLFuture.
There you go, guys. And this is our wrap-up show for the NFL Combine. For Evan Silva, Mike Lyko, Alex Brown, and Brad Clark, I am Wes Bunting, and I hope you'll tune in next Tuesday as well for our take in part 3. Have a good week.